This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Tom Joyce. How are you, Tom?
I'm great, Robert. How are you?
Good. And Tom is the recent CEO and chairman of Knight Capital Group. And you're going to hear some fascinating stories of overcoming unbelievable challenges and the focus that it takes to do that. And you're also going to hear a story about great growth of an organization. So let's start out. You know, you'd been at Merrill for a lot of years, Kidder Peabody, you know, and there you are, all of a sudden, you become CEO. What did it feel like to become CEO of Knight?
Well, it was really exciting. It was obviously an ambition that was coming to fruition, if you will, but it was also fairly nerve-wracking. I had figured, though, in the time I had spent in the industry, I had kind of, if you will, earned a PhD in equities. And Knight's sole focus at the time was equities. So I thought, this is something that I really want to try, and I think I have the skill set for.
So let's fast forward. You start your day. You are actually 2 hours into your job as CEO, and stock goes, from a mistake, from over $6 down to 14 cents a share. What happens there?
Well, it was not exactly the start I was looking forward to, but frankly, on Friday afternoon, the press release had gone out that I got the job, and the stock was trading around $6 a share and closed at $6.25. And I'm thinking, boy, they love me out there. Look at the stock responding nicely. So I come to work Monday. It was a funny culture at the time. I walked in the door a little before 7, and I literally had to turn the lights on. There was nobody else in the office. That was kind of the approach they had back then. So I sit down at my desk, and I start to meet with our head salesperson, who I had heard was threatening to leave. And he was probably doing 10% of our institutional client business, so he was kind of a big deal. So I had him in behind closed doors. At about 8:15, 8:20 in the morning, the door starts banging off its hinges, and I open it up, and there's our chief technology officer and our head of sales saying, "Have you seen the stock price?" And I was like, "Guys, it's 8:15 in the morning. The market's not open yet." He goes, "Oh, no, it's trading. It's trading on the electronic venues. You should look." And there it was, flying across the tape at 14 cents. So I thought to myself, wow, in less than 2 hours, I've managed to see the company lose 95% of its market cap. I thought, that's probably not a good thing.
You must have done a double take. You said, this can't be true.
Well, the first time I saw it, when they said to me, the stock's trading at 14 cents, I was like, well, you mean it's down 14 cents. Right. And they said, no, it's trading at 14 cents.
So talk about first, before we talk about your approach, what you did, why was it trading at 14 cents? That's an incredible drop of 95%.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible. All right. Turns out we had a workstation go haywire, and we, Knight Capital Group, was shorting our own stock at 14 cents. So not only was it hard to fathom that the stock had lost 95% of its capital in less than 2 hours, it was harder to fathom that we caused it. We had a technology problem.
Okay, so imagine this. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners listening in, your CEOs. Imagine you see overnight, 95% of your business go down the tubes. This is not even overnight. This is within 2 hours, and that's when you're new to the job. What would you do? So now let's hear. So Tom, and you remind me sort of Giuliani in 9/11. You're the Giuliani of Wall Street. That's how I see it.
I think you're being way too generous. Having said that, I did know enough about equity trading to know that it had to be an error. We knew there was no corporate news to have push the stock anywhere, let alone down 95%. And it was trading on NASDAQ at the time, and I knew we had an error. So we called up the CEO of NASDAQ, Rick Ketchum at the time, and we explained to him, we have a trading error. It's a pretty good-sized one, but, Rick, it is literally an error, and we think you should take these trades off the tape, that these are bad trades. And they came back to us within 20 minutes and said, yes, we are going to erase all that trading. It's as if it never happened, and you can kind of hit control, alt, delete, and start again. So we used the rules that were in place at the time that when there is an error, you have recourse, and NASDAQ did the right thing by taking these erroneous trades off the tape.
Okay, so there's a saying in leadership that character emerges under crisis. How were you able to respond so calm and focused to get immediate results? What was going through your head right there? Because this is something very few people in business face, and there are great lessons to be learned.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm a fairly easygoing, fairly level-headed character, I think. You might have to ask my wife for more details on that. But I think I'm a relatively, you know, straightforward individual, and I knew we had a problem, and getting excited about it wasn't going to fix it. We had to figure out what the problem was and what the solutions were and deal with it. So we called NASDAQ. We also had the technology team shut down all the workstations to make sure that there wasn't a bug in one of the other ones that might cause a similar problem. And then I went out on the trading floor and got on the squawk box, the hoot and holler, and addressed everybody and said, good morning, everybody. My name's Tom Joyce. I haven't had a chance to meet any of you yet, but I'm sure you saw the stock traded at 14 cents. We know what the issue is. We talked to NASDAQ about it. We're going to resolve it, and we're moving forward. And at some point soon, I hope to meet everybody and really get to know you a little bit better.
There you have it. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We speak with the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Tom Joyce, who was the recent chairman and CEO of Knight Capital Group. We just heard about one debacle. But as if that's not enough, you're going to get a second story to hear about before we go into talking about the whole growth strategy. So then after the company had really grown, we fast forward to, I think it's 2012.
That was actually August 1st of 2012. I know it quite well because on July 31st of 2012, I had my knee operated on. And it wasn't a big operation. It was arthroscopic surgery. But on August 1st of 2012, I was sitting at home, fairly immobile, as you might imagine, day after knee operation, with my cell phone beside me and ESPN on TV, kind of enjoying the morning, the beautiful day, when the phone rang around 10 o'clock, and the head of trading is on the other end, and he tells me, we have an error. I said, all right, well, we trade probably 3 to 4 million trades every day. We're the largest market maker in the United States, you know. We have errors occasionally. He goes, no, this is a big one. We inadvertently bought $3.5 billion worth of stock while we inadvertently sold $3.1 billion worth of stock. We have a $6.5 billion position that we've accumulated in the last half an hour, and we're in deep trouble. And I started thinking to myself, it would have been nice if I had heard about this when the problem started. It's also spectacularly incredible to conceive of that in a half an hour we had managed to put this size of an erroneous position on. So I asked him, is it done? Have we stopped the trading? He goes, yes, we've shut the server down and the trading is over. But we're already down a couple $100 million because all the sharks on Wall Street have re-engineered our trading. They've figured out our positions. They know they're bad positions and they're starting to shoot against us.
So what'd you do?
I wasn't very mobile, so I was kind of thinking at the time, are you going to be here at home and just deal with it over the phone, or is there some way you can get in the office? I couldn't drive. It was my right knee was the one that got operated on, so I couldn't drive. So about 10 minutes later, my wife comes home and takes a look at me, and she goes, what happened? And I looked at her and I said, well, we may have just lost the company. And she said, in words I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, well, you're not going to lose the company sitting there. Let's get your stuff together and get into the office.
And so you went in there, and I think it turned out it was about $450 million or something.
Well, on the way in, of course, we called the SEC, we called FINRA, we called all the regulatory agencies to let them know we had an issue, a huge issue. Our capital, our equity capital at the time, was plus or minus $450 million. And by the time we get out of the trade later that afternoon, because the regulators told us, whatever you do, get out of those positions. You need to ring fence the situation so we can deal with what's left later. By the time we kind of did, in fact, get out of the trade, we had pretty much blown through all of our equity capital, and we were then in dire need of a refinancing. But more than anything, we had to make it to the weekend so that we could actually refinance the company, because we got our clients out of the way. As soon as we knew there was a problem, we turned off all of our clients, which to this day has been something they fondly recall and give us a lot of credit for. So no clients got hurt. The only organization that got hurt was the organization that caused the error, and that was Knight Capital Group.
Well, and that is an incredible story of leadership. And number one, everyone listening in, remember, you're focusing on your clients and making sure clients don't get hurt if there's a calamity. And the second thing is to keep a clear head and solve the problem very efficiently. We're with Tom Joyce right now. We're going to come back, and when we do, we're going to talk about...
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world,
OneLight. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLight. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
Hi, this is Robert Greese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Tom Joyce, who is the recent CEO and chairman of Knight Capital, the largest market maker in America. And so we spoke before about challenges and how you overcame them, but now let's talk about when you came into the company. It was about a $500 million company. It was not making money at all. It was not profitable, but by the time you left, it was $1.3 billion company making over $250 million a year. Talk about what you did and your strategy with building it from a good to a great organization.
Well, Knight had had a very fast start well before I got there. We saw them with a little bit of envy when I was back at Merrill Lynch. They got a very fast start, and then they ran into a buzzsaw in the aftermath of the internet bubble collapsing. On top of that, some of the rules changed. And the biggest change in the rules was we were no longer trading equities in the United States in eighth point increments, which is 12 and a half cents. We were trading equities now in penny increments. So the whole dynamic of the profitability changed. So Knight had a lot of market share, but none of them, they were not able to harvest any of the market flows. They were not able to harvest the positions that they used to do as well as they used to do in the past, because they were on the back end of a boom with a rule change, and they didn't respond to it at all. So the board decided to make a change, and I was lucky enough to get the call, although the first day in the job I wasn't considering myself all that lucky, I must admit. But I looked at the opportunity set, and I said, this is when we have to go from a manual trading organization to a technology-driven organization, which, of course, upset the culture, the then culture of the organization. But we didn't get a vote. Because of the dynamics of the industry, because of the competitive nature of the industry, trading in pennies with billions of shares traded every day, millions of trades done every day, human beings couldn't process the information properly and efficiently. So we had to go from an environment, and I guess one of the stories that kind of tells the tale there is we went from 260 market makers. Those are people sitting in chairs, hitting keyboards, making prices, trading equities, to ultimately, 3 years later, 40. And we went from five quants, five PhDs with computer science degrees and advanced physics degrees in 2002, to over 100 3 years later. So we had to transform the strategy, and we had to transform the workforce at the same time.
So let's talk about the whole culture. You know, you started off, you said when you came in 7 a.m., no one was there, the lights were off. Talk about the culture and what you had to do to change the culture.
Well, we talked about day one. Day two was probably more nerve-wracking because the Wall Street Journal led off with a story on the above the fold on the C section that said Knight Trading Group accused of front-running client orders. And that came from a story in their sources at the SEC. This was kind of a punch in the nose because I had not been aware that the SEC was investigating. The board didn't disclose it during the interview process, if in fact they even knew about it. So all of a sudden, at the beginning of day two, every institutional client walked out.
Wow. So you went through more in 2 days than most people.
It
I guess that builds character.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly what I would have called a dream start to a job. But we knew that because of the situation, we had to just go for it and get out and meet our clients and start to talk to our clients about what was important and how the company was going to go forward. The culture was perceived at the time as one that it was kind of a bunch of folks there worrying about their W-2 forms.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to very aggressively, if you will, i.e. verbally, and all the information we passed out, We started talking the talk, and we had to walk the talk about changing from an individually focused organization to one that was focused on clients. And we had to do it every day, and it had to start with me. The organization had to see that I was out visiting clients, that we were making strategic moves to better our clients' experience with us, and trying to make our clients look smarter, which by the fact of reflected glory, of course, would make us look smarter and better.
So talk about what were some of the biggest challenges that you had in turning the whole culture around?
Well, if you've got an organization that's worried about their W-2 form, then guess what? The first thing we did was we changed compensation styles. Mm-hmm. We went from largely a commission-based organization, which I know it works for a lot of companies, but in this particular case, it was hurting the organization because people were, again, focused on themselves. Teamwork didn't exist in the least, to one where we went to salary and bonus, mm-hmm. and we articulated the fact that if you did your job and you hit your numbers, great, but you also had to raise the level of the people you were working with in order to truly get paid well. And there was a lot of skepticism. In fact, we did an internal survey, which I still remember one line to this day, and we did this like in 2003, right after we changed compensation styles. And one respondent wrote, "He killed the dream." 2 years later, actually like 3 years later, the stock had doubled, if not tripled. Everybody made what they made before, if not more so, because we were starting to experience success. And people were getting out of bed in the morning with their feet hitting the ground, feeling, "I want to go to work today. This place is..." People want to work for winners. And suddenly we had a winning attitude and a winning approach, and people knew it and liked it.
And I understand another part was board governance, how you worked with the board. So talk
well,
about that.
Yeah, the culture wasn't just the troops, if you will. There were some issues, I think, at the board. They were obviously there when some of these trading misbehaviors were taking place at the SEC came after the company over. So there was some change needed there, too. And one of the things that, if you will, it wasn't any one particular thing you could point to, I guess, but if you could point to anything, it was ISS, which is a corporate governance specialty firm. At the time, I'm not sure if they still do, but at the time used to rank the quality of governance at the publicly traded companies they covered. And when I started at Knight, our corporate governance score was 14, which meant to say that 86% of publicly traded companies in the United States had a better score than us. We worked on it. 3 years later, we ended up with a score of about 75%, which I think we were very comfortable that we were in the right position, and 100% might have been too much. But we did things like we changed the elections of the directors so that every director had to be reelected each year. We worked on diversity. We had our first female board member. Probably could have done a better job, but at least we made a step in the right direction. And we did things like that. You know, we made sure that the compensation committee was structured properly. We made sure that the finance and audit committee had the leadership it needed. We just addressed kind of basic things that seem second nature to a lot of firms, but in our company, I think it got too inwardly focused, and we just had to expand the approach.
So you have about 30 seconds left. Let's talk about, I know you're very involved in the community.
Well, we're very proud to be part of a wonderful town. And my wife is a former president of the Darien Community Association. I'm honored to be on the police commission and one of the three commissioners in town. The police force is one of the finest police departments in the state. It had long been considered that way, so I kind of got involved with the winner. And it's kind of fun every day when we go to... twice a month, actually, when we go to these meetings to be involved and see how the community is rallying around the police department and they're doing their job in such a terrific fashion.
Well, Tom, great having you on the CEO show.
Thanks, Robert. It's been a pleasure.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breathe. He also discovered how normal cells turned into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese and Albert Reese on the Customer Experience Show, and we're here today with Ron Losby. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing great, Robert.
And Ron is the president of Steinway & Sons of the Americas.
Steinway is perhaps the most venerable name, certainly in your industry, but in almost any industry. What does the uniqueness of the Steinway brand really mean to you as president?
Well, I think its legacy, and as you mentioned, its venerability, is something that we cherish and that we try to cultivate continuously, because we don't expect it to remain the same year after year unless it is in fact cultivated. I've often been envious of other organizations who have relatively new brands, and there's not a level of expectation as great as there is with an older brand that you have to live up to before you ever even meet your potential customers. And we're always looking in the rearview mirror to our competitors to see what they are doing as well. But the level of expectation that a customer has about Steinway, because it's so well known, is at some certain points daunting, frankly.
Thinking about your customers, Ron, I'm guessing you segment them into a couple of different categories. The concert pianists, the ones we see on television all the time. Talk to us about your different customer segments.
We have essentially three different groups of customers, and perhaps the most visible is really the smallest group, and that is the professional instrumentalists, the Billy Joels of the world, the Vladimir Horowitzes, mm-hmm. the Long Longs. They're very important to our company, and we're honored that they play the Steinway, because we don't pay them to play the Steinway piano. They do this freely and choose it as the best instrument to project their art. But they're a relatively small group. The next largest group of instrumentalists that we have that use our pianos are institutions, what we call institutional users, higher education, K-12, houses of worship. These particular organizations are approached differently by our company because we know where they are, we know what they use. If they're in the education business or the performance business, they have to have a piano of some sort. So the programs we use to address this very important segment of our business are quite different than the ones that we use to address the professional or the piano teacher. And of course, the final and largest group will be what I call the hobbyist. And these are individuals, perhaps like you and I, that maybe we took the piano, maybe we want it for our children to learn how to play the instrument, maybe we just want a beautiful piece of architecture in our home. They're not going to change their life specifically because of the piano, but they want it because it is something that represents longevity, it represents a great financial investment, and there's other key performance indicators, if you will, that sort of activate in this customer segment that's very different from the other two.
So when you think about relating with the three and the customer experience you're trying to achieve through Steinway, how do you approach them, the three of them, differently? You hit on a little bit.
Well, they are quite different. And I would say that the hobbyist group or the great listener is more aspirational. They're buying into more of a lifestyle, a Steinway lifestyle, if you will. We have Steinway societies around the country, and these are individuals that want to be a part of something that is cultural, that is important, that may be somewhat eleemosynary, depending upon the Steinway society that they're involved in. But they buy into a lifestyle and an aspiration of what Steinway means. And what it means is excellence. Steinway is really the epitome of a musical instrument at its finest, and it's always evolving, it's always being improved, but it is something that signifies excellence. The institutional users, these are tools. These are tools that they teach on, they teach composition, they teach voice, they teach solfege. It's something that is just part of the educational process, and they look upon it very differently than one of the aspirational users or the professional. The professional user is absolutely a tool to make their living. It is like a palette of color, a canvas, where they can create their art, and is extremely crucial to their life and to their life's work and also to their financial well-being. To have an instrument that's going to express what they want to express, regardless of the genre, musically speaking, and will hopefully keep them employed, if you will, in the performance arena for many years to come.
So you have obviously a very clear grasp of what each of your different segments looks for. How do you receive feedback from them regarding the experience they have with your products?
Well, we do a lot of post-sale contact with a customer. That is extremely important for us, because I think a company like Steinway, we could be somewhat arrogant. We could be a company that sort of rests on its 162-year legacy and reputation, and for the next decade or so that might serve us okay. But in the reality of this world, bad news travels pretty quickly. And a bad customer experience because of electronic media, it can go viral, as we all know, very fast. So it's extremely important for us to make certain that every one of our customers is satisfied with their purchase. And I even do that personally. I call many of them myself just to get the feedback of how did we deliver the piano? Was your experience before you ever got into our one of our showrooms, was it what you expected to be through the internet? You know, how did our representative come to answer all of your questions and treat you in a manner that you thought was appropriate? All of these aspects, not one of them can be deficient. They all have to be beyond a customer's expectation.
When you talk about the internet, you have a product that is not considered high-tech product, even though it has significantly high-tech involved. How do you use the internet to reach new types of customers and create a new customer experience for them?
I think above all the things in my 28 years with Steinway, the largest sea change that we've had has been the internet, because we're a very small company, both in terms of volume and the number of pianos and the customers that we look for every year. What the internet has done for us, if we do it right, and we're constantly evolving our internet strategy and looking for ways to improve it, but it has allowed us to be everywhere at once. Anyone who has a computer can come on and find out more about Steinway & Sons. 30 years ago, we used to have to run ads in magazines, on TV, on the radio, you know, sort of the old traditional media. And as a small company, you could not do that unless you received some sort of a return within a reasonable period of time. The internet is our virtual showroom. And what this is supposed to do is to educate the customer, is to enable a customer to aspire, if they're part of that hobbyist group, as to why they should be purchasing an instrument or considering purchasing a Steinway instrument. And it also has a tremendous amount of information on our institutional customers. So those particular segments of our customer base, they all find something that's relevant to them.
I want to interrupt you on that, because I know that you were one of the largest online sellers of classical CDs. How does something like that fit into your strategy?
Well, it's a very important key component of it, and you're right, through our subsidiary of archivemusic.com and also our Steinway & Sons record label. These individuals that are purchasing classical CDs, because that is what this company is all about, are six times more likely to purchase a piano and a Steinway piano than those who do not purchase classical CDs. So we have, if you will, sort of an embedded list of consistent users of the CDs that are classically oriented, and we do reach out to them on a regular basis, but in a very thoughtful way. We don't overuse it. We don't bombard these individuals. It's something that they almost have to ask us if they want more information, but we will send them various e-publications that we have that will require and contain, I should say, information that is important to that particular user.
You've used the word legacy. I've not heard the word luxury. I've often associated Steinway with the term luxury, almost as Rolls Royces to automobiles. Talk about legacy and how legacy influences the way you interact with your customers.
Well, the legacy of the Steinway, I think, is well known. I mean, we are a company that started out building pianos in 1853, and here it is, 2015, and we're still building pianos. We have stuck with our knitting, if you will, and perfecting what we do over time. And I think that's one of the key ingredients that has enabled our success going forward through recessions and world wars and depressions and cultural changes. Steinway has remained sort of the stalwart. Yes, our sales may go up and down a bit, but we have retained what I call, you know, our legacy and our integrity to what we are and what the Steinway brand is. We can never forget who we are or what we are, and we need to always improve who and what we are. And looking back gives us, I believe, a window into the future.
We have about 30 seconds before break, but I just wanted to ask you, you are one of the companies that still manufactures in the U.S. How do you do that? Well, it seems more expensive.
We're very proud about that, and we manufacture right here in New York City and have since 1853. And I'm proud to say that we are competitive, that we're able to ship these instruments all over the world. And the importance of being in a place like New York is that it is a labor pool that draws from all over the world. And one of the key successes of Steinway & Sons is that these waves of German immigrants that started our company, and then the Irish and the Italian, and now the Puerto Rican, etc. They're all coming here, and we have this great labor pool where people want to work with their hands, and so we are able to access this pool.
We're speaking with Ron Losby, president of Steinway. Back in a few.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-0335. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-0335. Again, that's 1-800-441-0335.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Robert Reese and Albert Reese on the Customer Experience Show, and we're here today with Ron Losby, who's the president of Steinway & Sons. And earlier in the show, you spoke about the cost and the value of a piano. Now, it seems to me that the number one reason why most people wouldn't buy a Steinway is because of the cost, but you've already told me that that's not the case at all.
Well, you might be surprised, as many are, that really a very prominent reason why an individual doesn't select a Steinway is not because they cannot afford it. It's because they cannot justify it based upon their own personal skill level at playing the piano. And this is why various attributes of a Steinway piano are universal, whether you play or not. We can all listen to the beauty of a Steinway. But certain aspects, such as the financial aspect of it, where it actually goes up in value year after year after year, is something that can appeal to virtually anyone. And also, the legacy within the home is a really important aspect of a Steinway, because of all the things one has, whether you've got a beautiful table and you've got furniture and clothing and things on the walls, the one thing that will always remain the same is that piano. The piano, you may change everything in the room, but that piano will be handed down generation after generation. And that is what people are buying into when they think of a Steinway piano, is this sort of transgenerational piece of legacy that is in their own living room.
When people come, they come to you looking to work for Steinway, come in to create a Steinway, do they come because of the brand, because of the legacy that exists, or do you actually find yourselves having to go out there and recruit these experts in making pianos?
Well, there's not a lot of experts that make pianos these days. Fortunately, we have the lion's share of them right here in New York City. However, we do attract people who like to work with their hands. They may end up being a master tone regulator in 20 years, and they may not. But these individuals who want to work with their hands, who like putting things together, have an opportunity at Steinway & Sons to have a career path that is very different than if you're a financial guy or a computer technologist or whatever, but you like working in this environment where you create something. One of the great legacies of Steinway, I believe, is that most of our workers and the people that haven't yet started working for us know what we do and what we are. And they know that it's not a table that they're producing. It's something that has an impact on the human condition.
And how connected are they to the customer experience across the three different customers you described earlier, these folks that are down making the pianos?
Well, actually, they're quite connected, because right here in New York, we have factory tours that bring various individuals through hundreds and hundreds per year. And it's interesting to see these potential customers or actual customers come in, see how a Steinway piano is made, and how our workers interact with them. Because there is this enormous pride, as I was just mentioning, and the questions they get from the customers that come through, there is an interaction there that is really heartwarming, frankly, because when you walk in to something that is 150 years old, which is our factory out there, and you see how this instrument is put together, and it's put together by people, then it really changes the landscape of when you see a Steinway piano, what is behind it.
And how do you create and maintain the culture of, you know, taking away from the individual who may have thought of himself or herself as a great piano maker in their own right to now being part of Steinway? How do you convince them or convey to them they're now part of a legacy?
Well, I think they all know that they're part of a greater whole. But, you know, we have some of our artists, if you will, that have you know, well-deserved personalities, let me put it to you that way. They are very much an artist, just like someone who plays the piano. And frankly, we don't mind the fact that a master tone regulator will be interviewed on perhaps radio shows or TV shows or How It's Made, which just happens all the time, fortunately, at Steinway, because these are true craftsmen, true artists, and they should be recognized. But I think they all believe and know that they're part of this whole. It's all about the piano.
Taking back a little different course, back to the Internet, what do you learn from the Internet in your outreach to your various customers? What do you learn from that?
Well, we're still learning, but one thing that is interesting is we have about 3 years ago set up what we call an Internet concierge. And what this individual does is only works with Internet inquiries. And we've learned that they want a response immediately, so we have, you know, you can talk to a person virtually 24 hours a day. We have certain protocols where we respond depending upon where they come into our website. If they come into I Just Find the Dealer, if they want to come in through our Crown Jewel Collection or Artcase Instruments or the Institutional Portal, we have a different response protocol for each one of these entrances. And we're constantly trying to refine it. But one thing is true is that they want it quick. It needs to be short. It needs to be personalized. And it needs to be accurate in the sense of, this may sound like something that's very basic, but the English language needs to be perfect. You don't type in something and have a misspelled word or have anything that is untoward, because that is really a flag that says this is the kind of experience you're going to have if somebody misspells the word weather or whatever it might be. So it's very important, quick, informative, and asking them for more to reach out to you.
And thinking about the hobbyists, I think you describe it as your greatest opportunity to reach out. How are you leveraging the Internet to reach that particular segment?
Different content. And different. They come in through different portals generally. I mean, they're usually much more interested in a specific type of piano and tell me more about, you know, what are our various models and what is the differences between them. They want more information and more education. But they also want to be a part of the lifestyle. So we have a lot of lifestyle activities, if you will, on the Internet website, which we believe that they click on very frequently, whether it's Paul McCartney playing at Steinway Hall, or it is Long Long getting playing at the Grammys last week. So these are individuals that like to be associated with those types of names.
Just, I'm interested. The hobbyist group is just fascinating to me. It seems like there's a great variety out there. You've got a young generation coming up of hobbyists. Do you approach them any differently?
In terms of reaching out to them, yes, because now we're, you know, on a mobile platform, which I think is very important for our Internet strategy. And trying to make the piano relevant while preserving its legacy is extremely important. And there are certain aspects of electronic appurtenances that make a Steinway piano much more relevant to the millennials or a younger generation, in that you can have you can put a mini strip in a Steinway piano, connect, you know, your GarageBand Apple computer to it, and suddenly you have a music studio that would have taken up an entire room 15 years ago. So being able to have things that make the piano more relevant to their needs is extremely important. So technology within the piano is an area of our company that we are just beginning to really get serious about. And it will change the relevance of a Steinway piano for many customer groups that don't play the piano well.
And how did you learn of that demand?
By talking with various individuals. Berklee College of Music, great example of it.
Okay, we've got 20 seconds left. You've spoken about excellence. You've spoken about pride. What is the future of Steinway? If you and I were to sit down 50 years from now, what would you hope?
Well, I think that the Steinway piano is going to be very similar to what it was in the home 100 years ago, and that's going to be the center of the home, but it's going to be technology that makes it the center of the home. It'll be an entertainment portal. It'll also be a portal to connect like-minded users throughout the world.
Great having you on the show, Ron.
Thank you.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.